Thank you to Jones Road Beauty and Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode.
What came next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
Jordan Wolf is a mother, business professional, victim advocate, and survivor of domestic violence from Iowa. After growing up in a small town and dreaming of becoming a teacher, Jordan set out to create a life for herself post-high school. However, her trajectory changed when she began dating her husband-to-be. Over the years of their marriage, Jordan would become a victim to an escalating pattern of coercion, control, and violence. The violence would rise to an unprecedented level in October of 2022, when the man who promised to love and stick by her side kidnapped her and abused her for 11 days. His October 17, 2022 arrest offered her immediate safety, but the legal battles that ensued afterwards signified the beginning of a whole new journey for Jordan. Her experiences led her to become a victim advocate and to fight for legal change for domestic violence victims everywhere. The Broken Cycle Media team is extremely grateful for Jordan's time, energy, and advocacy in the following episodes and beyond.
March of 2022, I told him I wanted a divorce with the officers in the room. I packed the bags and I went to grab our youngest. And he's like, whoa, no. I'm okay with you leaving, but he's not going anywhere. My sons will stay with me. And I looked at the officers and they're like, we can't really make him give up his children. At this point, I had not fessed up to any of the physical abuse. And I got in my car and I went to my mom's house. I had a conversation with my mom and my dad, and I came clean to physical abuse. I did not go into detail of things. I didn't know if they were ready to hear a lot of it, but I did say, yes, he hits me. I said, but I have to go back. I need my sons. My mom said that she couldn't do it anymore. That was radio silence then for the next 7 months. He had me all to himself. He had taken away all of my friends. He had isolated and terminated all relationships with the people that I knew had my best interests at heart. My family had always been a trigger to him. He loved how they were so much in the beginning, and that just turned to sheer hate. And he thought that they had such a hold on me. He described my mom and my sister as toxic bitches that were jealous of us. He was driven with the hate that he had for them. So by taking them away from me and away from our sons, it was the last piece of the puzzle that he needed to know that our loyalty was with him and only him. I didn't want to choose him, but for that period of my life, I knew that that was the only option. That summer, he was high as a kite when it came to living life. He had me, he had the three boys, he had no outside ties to anybody, but by that point, when he took away my family, I had already made that decision that I was done and I needed to find a way out. How do I do this? And it was like Mission Impossible, plotting, planning. Everything was really good until September 19th, 2022. It was my middle son's birthday, and our youngest son's birthday is on the 21st of September. So my dad showed up at the farm with presents for the boys. He apologized to Chris for showing up. Chris allowed my dad to give the presents to the boys. My dad left and Chris just completely blew up. He really sort of started to spiral. Every single night when I got home from work, it was him screaming and yelling, breaking things and punching holes in walls, just creating an atmosphere of chaos. It all went back to affairs. It went back to me cheating on him. I knew that I was in for a long ride when it came to this, that it wasn't something he was about to drop. I just tried to reassure him that that was not who I was. He would drop it and he'd let it go. But then the next day it would be the same thing. It wasn't until October 4th of 2022 that I saw how far he was willing to take it. October 4th, 2022 was like any other day. I had started a new job at a company that was an hour away from my hometown. I did not know anybody that was there. I was just the friendly business manager, that happy, smiley girl that showed up every day. Chris had really pushed me to that job. I was maybe 3 months in as of October and went to work, had a normal day, got home. The boys were home. They were playing. I started supper. And about that time, I heard Chris's truck pull into the driveway. Our dog took up running upstairs and hid underneath the bed. And the boys flew to their bedrooms and hid from him. He walked in and he was instantly just hateful, screaming and yelling. I asked what his problem was. He said that he had been thinking all day about me and Jake, a high school boyfriend from when I was 16. He was convinced that we had slept together while Chris and I were together. I pleaded with him and said, please let me get supper made. Let me get the boys fed and then we can have this conversation. So got supper made, got the boys fed. The big boys took my youngest, who was 4 at the time, got him taken upstairs and I went out onto the back porch and started talking with Chris. I reiterated that I had never cheated on him. I was like, this is not going to happen. I'm not admitting to you that I did this because I did not. He got really pissed off and started grabbing me by the shoulders and shaking me, pushed me up against a wall and got in my face and started screaming. I just said to him, I'm like, it's the same outcome every single time. You don't believe me. I don't know what I can possibly do to make you believe me, but I'm exhausted. I need to go to bed. Can I please go upstairs? I went upstairs, got in bed, and about an hour, hour and a half later, I felt him shaking my foot. He says to me, I just want you to know that I haven't been innocent in this relationship. I've done things that I'm not proud of, but I'm not going to come clean until you do. I looked at him and I was like, this really feels like a trap, like you're trying to bait me and trying to get me to admit to things that I did not do. I think you're lying to me about cheating on me because you've sworn up and down that you would never do that. He got really pissed off and he stomped down the stairs. I thought that that was it. About 30 minutes later, I hear him screaming from at the bottom of the steps to get my fucking ass downstairs. At this point, it's like 12:30 in the morning. My sons are asleep. So I go flying downstairs. I walked out on the back porch and he's standing there with the baseball bat. He just starts slamming the baseball bat against the table and busts off an entire chunk of the table as he's like, you need to tell me everything. I got super nervous and really scared. This was not uncommon for him to fly off the handle like this, but he went from 0 to 60, which normally I had this transition moment where I could see that he was escalating. I didn't see that this time. I denied any sort of affair or cheating on him. He lost his mind and cocked the baseball bat back, swung it across my stomach, knocked the wind out of me, and I fell to the ground. When I fell to the ground, he just started kicking me and asking me, when did you fuck Jake? How many times did you fuck Jake? And it was the same thing over and over without any sort of reprieve or break. He just wanted answers and I couldn't catch my breath. Finally, he stopped. I looked at him and was trying to see any sort of sign that he had any sort of remorse for what he had done. He just stood over the top of me with his fist clenched and his mouth was pursed and his lips were super tight. There was spit in the corners of his mouth. He was breathing really heavy and looked like he was a caged animal ready to fight. I got up and I sat down in the chair. I said to him, "Chris, I swear to God, I swear on our kids' lives, I have never cheated on you and I would not do that." He calmed down for a little while and started to be a little bit more understanding about what I was saying. He finally just looked at me and he was like, "You just need to go to bed. I'm done. I can't even look at you." And I went upstairs. I got my pajamas on and he yelled at me to come back down. So I came down thinking maybe he was going to apologize. And I walked out. He just grabbed me, put his hands around my throat and started choking me. I lost consciousness. I woke up. I don't know how long I was out, but he was no longer in the room. I was in a heap on the floor, had pissed my pants, which was super embarrassing. I didn't know if I should move, if he thought that I was dead and he was panicking, trying to figure out what comes next. I didn't know if he was waiting for me to wake up so he could finish what he started. I sat there for probably a good 30 seconds. It felt like an hour, but I whispered out his name and waited for a response and I didn't hear anything. So started to get up, went upstairs, didn't hear him. I didn't see any lights on outside. And I got in the shower, cleaned myself off, got my pajamas on, walked into our bedroom and found him sound asleep in bed. That was concerning that he had literally choked me unconscious, did not know if I was alive or if I was dead. And he just decided to go upstairs and go to sleep. I climbed in bed next to him and fell asleep for a little while, still kind of paranoid that he was going to finish what he started.
Thank you again to Jones Road Beauty for sponsoring this episode. I am a makeup lover through and through, but I have super sensitive skin and since childhood have had to be very careful with what products I use on my face. Thick, cakey makeup is literally my skin's worst nightmare. That's why I was super excited to try Jones Road Beauty Miracle Balm. It gives an effortless, natural, glowy look that can replace your highlighter, bronzer, blush, or lip tint. Plus, it gives your skin that dewy, fresh look without clogging pores or feeling caked. And the best part is that all of Jones Road Beauty products are packed with skin-loving ingredients and are free of phthalates, sulfates, petrolatum, PEGs, cyclic silicones, EDTA, and BPA. Plus, Jones Road Beauty just launched their new foundation stick, which gives you medium to full coverage while still feeling light and weightless. Jones Road Beauty is modern-day makeup that's clean, strategic, and multifunctional for effortless routines. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a free full-sized mascara on their first purchase when they use code WCN at checkout. Just head to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code WCN at checkout. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that What Came Next sent you.
I ended up getting up maybe 2 hours later, started getting ready for work, got my coffee made, and he came downstairs, sat down, and he said to me, "I can't believe that you are so fucking arrogant to think that I would never cheat on you." I was like, "So you're admitting that you've cheated on me, but until I admit that I've cheated on you, you're not going to tell me who it was with." And he's like, "Exactly. That's the whole point. You get answers when I get answers." I got ready. I left. I went to work. I did not have any bruising to my face or neck or anything like that that couldn't be covered by clothes. He called me as soon as I got up to work. He knew because of his tracking on my phone. That day, I sat with my phone on with him on the line. He could hear any conversations that were happening when people came into my office. He basically was just making sure that I was not ratting him out, calling the cops or letting people know what was going on at home. I got through the day. I went home. He was okay that night. He wanted to talk and we had some conversations as far as the infidelity. But of course, I didn't admit to something that I didn't do. We went to bed. And the next morning, he woke me up about 3:30 in the morning. I went downstairs. We were on the back porch again. And he went completely berserk. He picked up the baseball bat again and he took the fat end of the bat, shoved it at me like he was trying to poke at me, and ended up catching me in the eye with the end of the baseball bat. It knocked me stupid having an aluminum bat smashed against your eye. I kind of fell down and he grabbed me by the hair and pulled me back up and then just started smacking me across the face. It got to the point where my eye was starting to swell up. It was black and I knew that I wasn't going to be able to go to work and explain it. So I called my bosses and said that I was having some mental issues that I needed to work through. They were very understanding and said I could work from home. From that point on, I didn't have anywhere I needed to be. I didn't have anybody checking in on me. And I was at his disposal 24/7. He took my phone, so I had no contact with anybody. It was all day, every day. He would hit me, he would beat me, he would choke me. He, at one point, punched me across the face and dislocated my jaw so I couldn't open my mouth. I didn't really want to drink anything other than alcohol, which he kept me liquored up pretty much the entire time. A lot easier to deal with somebody when they're not in their right mind. And honestly, I was okay with it. So I didn't feel anything. I was not in pain. We went like this for a good 4 days with just the five of us being in the house. The boys would go to school. They would come home from school. We had to take our youngest to preschool, which was half days. We did that every other day. And then he stayed at home because my mom was his babysitter. After we had to cut ties with them, Chris started being his daycare provider on the days that he didn't have school. So our youngest had to witness a lot of the abuse, hear a lot of the screaming. We had two of his guy buddies come over the very first Saturday of the 11 days, which would have been day six. They showed up. I was outside in the machine shed with a stocking hat on, sunglasses, hoodie, sweatpants, completely covered head to toe. They sat with us and watched a football game. They did not notice the bruises, or they weren't looking for them, is what I truly feel. And after the football game was over, Chris turned on the Hulu documentary on Chris Watts and him murdering his family and made us watch it. He's talking about how fucked up this guy is. How could he possibly do that to his family? And the whole time I'm looking at him covered head to toe in bruises and know what he's capable of. But I truly feared that if I reached out for help or winked at one of them to try to get their help, it would just come back to me as soon as they left. So I sat silent. I drank my beer, watched the show, and tried not to throw up. His friends left on that Saturday night. He started in again about Jake. I was like, I need to go get the boys. I need to get our youngest put down to go to bed. And he's like, all right. So he comes inside. I put our youngest to bed and I went back down on the back porch. He starts in about Jake, just grilling me so much harder than he had previously. He picked me up by my throat, body slammed me into the ground, grabbed the back of my head and started slamming it into the floor, and then started stomping on my chest and in my stomach. I tried to tell him and make sentences, but I was delirious. I was exhausted. I was hungry. And then he picked me up by the back of the hair and dragged me back up. He's like, you need to be fucking serious with me right now. I'm done playing. I will fucking kill you. You need to fucking tell me the truth. I looked at him and I was like, yes, I did it. I cheated on you. I slept with Jake that night. I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. And he's like, good. Now we're getting somewhere. He proceeds to tell me about three girls that he had had sex with while we were dating, engaged, married, had kids. They're all people that I know very, very well. I knew it was true because of details that he had given me. One of the girls had come clean to me and said that she had slept with this guy, gave me all the details. She just did not mention that it was my husband that she had had sex with. I crawled down the stair steps. I threw up in our front yard after hearing that little tidbit. Next thing I know, he's coming out the back door with an AR-15 on his side, grabbed me by the back of the head and dragged me across our driveway into the machine shed. I looked at him and I said, I thought you told me that if I was honest, you weren't going to kill me. And he's like, oh, you were honest about Jake. But now I know that Jake wasn't the only one. If you fucked Jake, then I know that you fucked Blair. Blair was another high school boyfriend who I had not seen or spoken to in 15, 20 years. I was so defeated at that point that I had fessed up about something that I didn't do. And now it had snowballed into something completely different. I knew it was never going to end. He grabbed a piece of baling twine and made a noose out of it. And he put it around my throat, put his foot in my back, and pulled the noose as tight as he could so that he was cutting off all oxygen, and pulled me back so far that I was laying on the concrete floor in the machine shed. He just stood over the top of me and he's like, just know this isn't fucking done, but I'm tired and I'm going to bed. So get up off the ground and go to bed. I walked across the driveway. I walked into the house. He was directly behind me and he's like, you fucking stink. Go take a fucking shower. I got in the shower and the next thing I know, he's in the shower with me. I knew what it meant. I was almost done in the shower and I started to act like I was getting out. He grabbed me by the arm and he shoved me up against the shower stall and he raped me in the shower with our boys 10 feet away. He got done. He got out. I got out of the shower, got dried off, got my pajamas on and went back to the bedroom. I fell asleep for maybe 2.5, 3 hours. He started screaming from the bottom of the stair steps again to come back down. I went downstairs. He grabbed me by the sweatshirt and threw me across the room. I ran into our clothing rack that had all of our jackets hung on it, and the whole thing exploded. There were metal rods all over, and he picked one up and started whipping me with the rods, beating me in the head with it. And our dog, who is a 160-pound King Corsair Mastiff, woke up and came out. He leapt at Chris and bit him in the arm. I'm trying to make sense of what's going on. I have blood all over me. And Chris is like, I'm bleeding. And I walked out and I looked at him and I was like, no, you're not bleeding. That's my blood. And he's like, oh, thank God. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. And I grabbed a towel and he threw it at me. I put it on my head and I got the blood to stop. Then I proceeded to clean up all of the blood from the back porch. From that point, it had been 7 days of 24/7 beatings because I can't go to work, obviously. And now the dog has intervened. So we can't do anything like that in the house anymore. I knew if I went to the machine shed that my kids were not there. They could not hear me, even if I called for help. That was when it all went downhill, and it went downhill very quickly.
Thank you again to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. There are things in life that you don't want to be transparent, like your swimsuit or your search history. But when it comes to your wireless bill, transparency is everything. That's why Mint Mobile's wireless plans have no gimmicks and no gotchas, just high-speed data and reliable coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. When we switched over to Mint Mobile's wireless network for my daughter's phone, I was absolutely shocked by the coverage. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and your number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/WCN. That's mintmobile.com/WCN. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/WCN. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months plans required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
I knew my kids weren't going to say anything when they went to school because they had been brainwashed into believing what happens at home stays at home. Monday, the boys had went to school. Our youngest was home with us. He started in again about the second boyfriend, and I admitted to cheating on him. That wasn't good enough. So then I admitted to sleeping with him for almost a year, and then it turned into 10 years. And then it turned into the boys were not even his. He wanted details of all of our sexual encounters, and he picked up a shotgun. He was like, open your mouth. I opened up my mouth and he shoved the shotgun barrel in my mouth. He told me to act like I was giving the shotgun head. He wanted me to pretend like I liked it. He sat down and he starts in about how my punishment for having an affair should be that he gets to fuck my mom and he gets to fuck my sister. He started plotting and planning how they would trust me and I could drug them, bring them home, and I could let him rape them. They would never know. And he wanted this to happen. And I was like, I'll do that for you, whatever it takes to make you forgive me. Keep in mind all the while that he's admitted to these three women that he slept with. And every time I gave him more and more details as to how I had cheated on him with Blair, he would tell me more women. Over the course of the 11 days, I found out he had slept with 9 women, all of which were friends of mine, people I had known my whole life, people that had been on my bachelorette party, been to my wedding, and they all were fucking my husband. And I had no idea. He thought to come up with this scenario that he should get to rape my sister and my mom, and that would be his payback. That was the moment that I realized he was completely fucking psycho. When we were in the machine shed was when the interrogations really took off. I could scream however loud I wanted to, and there was no one to hear me. His best little tool that he had was a wooden broken broomstick handle that we used with our livestock to keep them away from us in pens. He would duct tape my hands down to a table. He would ask me a question, and if I didn't answer the way he wanted, he would take the wooden mallet and he would smash my fingers. Once my hands got so swollen and black and blue, then he moved on to my toes. Then he moved on to my shins. He got very calculated and he got great pleasure off of how much pain he could inflict. I don't remember a lot of the pain. I know it hurt in the moment, but I can't look back on it and still feel it. On the last evening, which would have been October 13th, we were out in the machine shed and he had an AR pointed at me and was going on and on about how Blair was the father of all three of our children and he wanted a DNA test. I had stolen all of his memories from him. He could no longer look back on his life and be happy. That was all my fault. And he put the AR down on the table and he picked up a machete. He put my head down on the table, put the machete on the back of my neck and started rubbing it across the back of my neck so I could feel how sharp the blade was. He would raise it and then lower it and raise it and lower it and just say, this would be so easy to cut your fucking head off. And then I could take your body down to the pig shed, feed you to the pigs. No one would ever know. I was like, what about the boys? And he's like, what about them? You're fucking worthless. You're not a good mom. In fact, I think I should cut your head off. I'm going to take it over to your mom and dad's and I'm going to put it on your dad's front porch. So when he leaves the house at 5 a.m, he trips over it. And when he realizes what it is, he goes into shock and he fucking collapses. And that's when I club him in the head and drag him back inside. And then I can fuck your mom right in front of your dad. And then once I'm done with her, I'll kill her. And then I'll kill your fucking dad after that. I couldn't believe that he had that so well thought out. It wasn't something that just popped into his head. He got turned on by that thought. And he raped me with a machete to the back of my head. We got done and he was like, I'm done with you. You can go inside now. I went back inside, went to bed for my 2 hours before he was ready for round number 17. Friday, October 14th, we took our youngest to preschool and pulled in, and there was a cop sitting at the school, which is not uncommon at all, but Chris had his AR with him. It was sitting in between the two of us. He said, don't get any ideas. I'm going to walk to the front door. Just know that my bullets are faster than you. So if you do try to take off or you try to get the cop's attention, I have no problems with killing every fucking person here. And I believed him. So I sat in the vehicle and we went back home. We got home and he's like, okay, you have 3.5 hours now before we have to go pick him up. So I need you to come clean. I need you to fess up. I had pleaded again and said, I've told you everything. There's nothing more. It got to be that we had about 15 minutes before we left. He said, well, either you can go with me or I can kill you here and I'll go get him by myself. He went into the kitchen and he set a timer on our oven. He came back out onto the back porch and I started panicking because I was like, holy shit. He's done everything that he possibly can up until this point, but kill me. I could see him starting to panic in that realization. The timer started going down and it kept getting less and less. And he would tell me 5 minutes, 3 minutes. This isn't how you want to die. Got down to a minute and he's like, oh, shit, this is really how you want it to go out. And got down to 10 seconds left and it's 10, 9, 8, and he kept counting and I lost it. I was hyperventilating and bawling hysterically. The timer starts beeping and I'm like, this is how I die. He put on a pair of gloves and put his hand around my windpipe and started to squeeze and then took his other hand and put it on the back of my head to push my head forward into his other hand that was crushing my windpipe and everything started to go black. I had tunnel vision. I saw a bright light and I thought, this is it. I'm truly, truly dying. Next thing I remember, he had thrown a glass of water in my face. I was on the ground and he was standing over the top of me and he's like, holy shit, you're fucking dying. I could see the life leaving your eyes. That was so fucking close, but I brought you back. I could have fucking killed you, but I didn't. I was shaking uncontrollably. I could not focus my eyes. I could not breathe well. I had no voice. And he's like, but do you know why I didn't kill you? And I shook my head no. And he's like, because I don't have all my fucking answers. He picked me up and he walked me out to the truck and he threw me in the back seat. And we drove the 15 miles to our son's school, picked him up, came home, and he didn't mention anything about it the rest of the day. Friday night, we went to bed. Saturday, we woke up. We did our chores like we normally do. The day was good. We hung out as a family. We played basketball. We cleaned out the machine shed, got blood cleaned up off the floor. He started in about 6 o'clock that night, and it was right back to where we were the day before. My middle son came out and asked if he could play on my phone, and I told him I didn't know where my phone was. Chris looked at him and told him that it was here, and yeah, go ahead. But when you're done, make sure you bring it back out to us so we know where it's at. He did that, and Chris and I fought on the back porch. Our middle son came back into the room. It was about 9:30 at night and said he was going upstairs. Mom, I set your phone out here on the counter. And I was like, okay, sounds good. Thanks, bud. I knew now at that point where my phone was, which was the first time in that 11 days that I had seen my phone.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
I tried to talk some sense into him and tell him that we could get past this and we could work through it. We just needed therapy. He decided that that wasn't possible. He picked up his AR and told me that we needed to go back to the machine shed. I said, absolutely not. I'm not going out there. If you want to kill me, you can kill me in the house, but I will not die in the machine shed. He picked me up by the throat, off the chair and off the ground, and I just made my body go limp and I fell to the ground. He grabbed my hooded sweatshirt and started dragging me out the back porch door and into our yard. We had a security light that flashes down into our yard and live right off of a highway about a quarter of a mile. You can't hear anything, but you could see what was going on. He pulled my sweatshirt so hard that he had pulled it off and I did not have a bra on. And so I'm topless in the yard and I'm like, the car's going by on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock at night. They can see me. They will call the cops if they see this. So we got back inside. I looked at him and I said, Chris, I am so over this. I'm so tired. You have to be exhausted. And he's like, oh my God, I am. My arms and my back are just killing me. And I'm like, I'm sure they are. Please, can you just give me 20 minutes and a notebook and a pen and I will tell you everything. I will come clean about everything that I have done and we can start fresh. And he got me a pen and a paper and he grabbed me a beer, brought it out to the back porch. And he's like, I will go outside. You can lock the door. I just want you to feel safe and I want you to just come clean. He picked me up, gave me a big hug and started stroking my hair and rubbing my cheeks. He gave me a kiss on each cheek and he grabbed my hand and we walked down to the back porch door. He walked outside and he told me he loved me. He looked at me through the window of the door and he's like, don't forget to lock the door. I locked the door, walked up the steps and walked into our kitchen. It's pitch black outside and he has his AR on his side and a headlamp on. I could see where he was looking because the light from his lamp was focused out into the fields as opposed to being flashed towards the house. I acted like I was getting a glass of water. I grabbed my phone that was sitting on the counter and I dialed 911 and I sat the phone down and I walked back to the kitchen, put my cup in the sink and saw that he was still looking away. Went back to my phone and 911 was on the phone. And I just started screaming, my name is Jordan Wolf. My husband's trying to fucking kill me. I need police officers here right away. The lady was like, okay, get to a safe location. Is he still there? So I'm screaming at my older two to get to their bedrooms. We grabbed my youngest, who was already asleep, and got to their rooms. Chris had always said, not if I called the cops, but when I called the cops to get to the boys' bedroom, pull the mattresses over the top of us because he was not going to go down without a fight, and he didn't want us to get taken out by stray bullets. So we hid upstairs, turned all the lights off, and about that time, Chris starts calling my oldest phone. He answered, and he's like, what's up, Dad? Oh, nothing. We're in our room. Mom called the cops, and I was like, oh, fuck. But I knew that they were on their way, and the 911 operator was like, they'll be there right away. Just hold tight. Chris started begging and pleading and wanting to know why I would do that to him. I just started screaming that he needed to leave if he didn't want to die. He got in his truck and he took off. 6 minutes after I made the 911 call, I had six police officers in my driveway. I was still on the phone with Chris and he's like, just don't let them fucking see you. If they see you, I'm fucked. And I'm like, well, you've ripped off every curtain in my house. The lights are all on and they're at the front door. I have to go. And he's like, please don't do this to me. And I'm like, it's too late. And I hung up. I answered the door. That was the night that he took off and the night that I gained my freedom back. It was the beginning of the hardest 3 years of my life. But at that moment, I was so happy and so relieved. It was like I was drunk, I was high, I was living every euphoric moment of my life all in that one moment because I had finally fessed up and people now were going to know the truth of what had happened. When the officers arrived and we had gotten through all of the questions, they asked if I had a safe place to go. Keep in mind, this is small town Iowa, so 3 of the 6 officers that showed up, I have known my entire life. They're like, can you go to your mom and dad's? Can you go to your sister's? Can you go to your brother's? And I'm like, yeah, but the problem is he's deleted all of my phone numbers out of my phone. So I had no way of contacting anybody. I'm talking with the officers. How can we figure this out? Because of course it's cell phones, not phone books. Somebody said something about calling my uncle's landline and asking if I knew his phone number. And I was like, yeah, I know their landline. I'm like, but oh my God, my mom's last 4 digits of her phone number are the same as my aunt and uncle's landline. I know my mom's phone number. So I called my mom at 11 o'clock at night and hadn't spoke to her in 7 months. Her phone rang and she showed the phone to my dad. And she's like, what do I do? He's like, fucking answer it. So she answers and I just said, hi, mom. She's like, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I'm safe. The boys are safe. I called the cops on Chris and he's on the run. We need a safe place to go. She's like, well, come here. You know you're welcome here. And I said, I understand that, but that's the first place that he's going to look. And she's like, you're right. Why don't you go to your brother's house? I'll call him. I'll let him know that you're coming. I was like, okay, that sounds great. The boys and I loaded up and we went to my brother's house and we stayed there that night. The cops stayed with us and they patrolled around his block to make sure that Chris didn't try to come there. Chris called us throughout the night as he was basically sleeping in his truck. He didn't have any friends or places that he could go. I talked to him the whole next day and basically was like, they're going to find you. If they find you first, they're not going to let you leave alive. So if you want a chance and an opportunity to come back to me and the boys, you need to turn yourself in. So he turned himself in on that Sunday, the 16th at 4 in the afternoon. The cops called me to let me know that he had gotten there and that he was in custody. Once Chris had turned himself in, we left my brother's house and headed to my mom and dad's, pulled in their driveway, and I called my mom and I said, we're here. I want to warn you that it's not pretty. I look bad, but I'm okay. It wasn't for my mom's sake. My mom is a superstar. She is emotional when it comes to her kids, but she's the pillar of strength. But my dad is a softie. He wears his heart on his sleeve. And I was like, the last thing I need is to see my dad and have him have a heart attack. So the boys walked in the house first, and then I walked in. I gave my mom a hug, and she went upstairs with my boys because she hadn't seen her grandsons in 7 months either. And she said, your dad's in the kitchen. And I walked in, saw my dad, and he started crying and gave me a big hug. I weighed 96 pounds. I hadn't eaten in like 8 days because my jaw was so swollen, I couldn't open my mouth. So I survived off of Busch Light and Marlboros for literally like 8 days. My dad sat me down in the kitchen chair, grabbed out his phone and started taking pictures of me. And he's like, this is so you never go back to that motherfucker. You look at these pictures and see what he did to you. And I was like, Dad, that's not going to happen. This was it. This was the last time. We just sat in the kitchen and hung out until my sister, who was away for the weekend with her family, got back, had a 2-hour drive to come back home to see her oldest sister. Then she was like, we should probably go to the emergency room. And I'm like, yeah, we probably should. So she loaded me up. We sang songs the entire way over there and were cracking jokes. We got to the ER. We walked in and the whole nurse's station just kind of stared at me like, what the fuck are we looking at? And I'm like, what? Do I have something on my face? And they all started laughing. And my sister and I tried to lighten the mood and try to make it not as serious as what it was and get back to that point that we had always had. My family is my everything.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
About 2 hours later, I had the head investigator on the case. He starts asking questions and I start telling him about what had happened over those 11 days. He looked at me and he's like, "What do you mean 11 days? And I said, "Well, I haven't left this house without him at gunpoint in the last 11 days. I started telling him bits and pieces and he's like, "I need to know as many details as you can remember, the days that they happened, if you can." I told him everything. He stopped taping and caught his breath. His face was bright red and he was like, "He fucking kidnapped you." And I was like, "He did kidnap me." And he's like, "He took you from one location to another at gunpoint against your will. That is fucking kidnapping."
Thank you again to Jones Road Beauty and Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget that for a limited time, our listeners can get a free full-size mascara on their first purchase from Jones Road Beauty when they use the code WCN at checkout. Just head to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code WCN at checkout. And to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/WCN. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/WCN.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.